So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, my victory. Your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, my victory. Your spirit.
And just give the Lord thanks right now. Would you just giving praise and giving thanks? What do I thank Him for? That you're not alone. His word said He'll never leave you, He'll never forsake you. That you're not having to walk through this pandemic in fear, but that the Lord is with you and the blood is applied to the doorpost of your health. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn and just wave at somebody and say, hey, it's good to see you. It's great to see you. Wave at somebody. Good to see all of you. All of our guests, we welcome you this morning. You can be seated. Thank you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, isn't it? It's so good to be in God's house. Thank you for just getting your family ready and being in the house of the Lord. I've already felt the presence of the Lord, the Spirit of God, and I appreciate that. Amen. Well, just want to keep you posted, keep you up to date on what's going on. Just due to everything that we're facing, we're just going to keep this schedule of Sunday morning only and Wednesday night online until the beginning of September. Then we're hoping we'll evaluate, we'll adjust, and then hopefully beginning the first week of September, we can kind of go back to some of our routine services and Sunday school and that sort of thing. So, you know, we've never walked this way before, right? And so we have the tension of, you know, those that have a lot of faith saying, well, Pastor, we got faith. And then you've got the other one saying, well, Pastor, We need to use wisdom, and both are right. We need to do both. And so we're going to continue to walk in faith and wisdom and serve you the very best way that we can. So that's what we're going to do. Just let me recap. That means Sunday mornings at 10, online services on Wednesday nights. And then we're hoping that the first week of September, we can kind of go back to a routine. So we'll see. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right. So just to bring a couple of things to your attention as our ushers come, please remember the Brantley family. Brother Mark Brantley lost his father this week, and they're actually having a very small private service for, I believe his name is Cappy. Most of you will know him by Cappy. Cappy Brantley, longtime members of the Longville Pentecostal Church. So just be in prayer for that family. Also, Sister Becky Travis, she needs our prayer. And then many of you know the George Guy family. I'm sure most of you have heard that Brother George Guy went on to be with the Lord this week. And so I believe it is Tuesday night at 6 at Eastwood Pentecostal Church there in Lake Charles will be the service for him. And then I believe there's also going to be a gathering at Riley Smith Funeral Home on Wednesday. And then from there, they'll proceed to bury Brother Guy. So just, if you would, be in prayer for that family. Also remember Angie Hardwick and her family. Just lift her up in prayer. And I just think it'd be fitting right where you're sitting if we can just pray, don't you? We all need prayer, right? And we all feel and can sense when somebody's praying for us. And so let's do that now. Father, we just come to you, Lord, on behalf of, Lord, the Brantley family, because we know they're in a season of loss and grief. And Father, we just pray that your presence would be right with them, right where they are. And Lord, that you would comfort them as only you can comfort. Father, we just pray, Lord, for that family, that you would just lift them up. And God, we pray, Lord, for Sister Becky, that you would touch her, Sister Angie. Lord, any of our people, Father, any of your people that are suffering today, God, and are, Lord, are down in their body, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the doorpost of their health. And we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. So if you're a guest here today, we don't ask you to give because we're not, that's just not who we are. We want you to enjoy the service. If you want to give, you're welcome to. But here's what we're doing during this COVID season so that no one has to touch an offering bag or an offering plate. What we do is we come up to the front and give in the baskets. And then if you're not, you don't want to do that. You're like, I don't want to get up in front of anybody. I don't want them to see me. Well, then there's some tithing and offering boxes in the back. And if you want to give, you can do that as you make your exit. Okay. So what we do is we start section A goes and then D and then B and C and B and D and then C. Here, I got it right there. So that's kind of the way we do it. All right. So what we're going to do is, for the sake of unity, we're going to ask you all to stand again. And they're going to sing unto the Lord. And as they do, if you have something you'd like to give, then come and be a cheerful giver. And we thank you for your giving. God bless you.
Glory and the honor as we
If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of Galatians, please? Galatians chapter 6. And again, to all of our guests and to all of you here this morning, thank you. To those of you who are joining us online, we welcome you. Glad to have you. Thank you for being with us. I'm going to share just a little bit of humor with you to hopefully make you maybe just bring a smile to your face. So how many of you, here's a question for you before I get into the humor. How many of you have ever been guilty of looking at someone your own age and thinking, surely I can't look that old? All right, so here's a little humor. So Alice was sitting in the waiting room for her first appointment with the new dentist. And she looked at his diploma and she saw his full name on the diploma. And suddenly she remembered a tall, handsome, dark-headed man with the same name who had been in her class some 40-odd years ago. So could this be the same guy that she had a secret crush on way back then? Upon seeing him, however, she quickly discarded any such thought. This balding, gray-haired man with deeply lined face was way too old to have been her classmate. And after he examined her teeth, she asked him if he had ever attended Morgan Park High School. And he said, yeah, I did. He said, sure did. In fact, I'm a Mustang. Yeah, I did. And she asked, well, when did you graduate? And he said, well, I graduated back in 1959. Why do you ask? And she said, well, you were in my class. And he said, really? And he looked at me closely. And then that ugly, old, bald, wrinkled, fat, gray, and decrepit man asked, what did you teach? Let's look at Galatians chapter 6, and let's look at verse 14. If you have it, say amen. Amen. But God forbid, this is Paul speaking, that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your sweet people. Lord, I don't take lightly this wonderful privilege to stand before the body of Christ and bring the word. Now, God, we've taken some time to get ourselves together and get our family together and our children together to be here. Now, help us to be here, spirit, soul, and body. Help us not to be somewhere else in our mind, but help us to be here so that we can receive, Lord, the encouragement from your word. And we thank you for it. And everybody say amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Now, if you would like to follow along, I'm going to be going in a lot of scripture this morning. I'm going to do my best to only hold you 35 minutes, but no promises. If you want to follow along with me, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And if you look at verse 24, I'm going to basically give you the overview of a few verses of scripture. Paul is speaking here, and Paul speaking says that five different times I received 39 different stripes. He was beaten five times and received 39 different stripes. Then he tells us that three times he was beaten with rods. Can you imagine? And then he tells us that once he was stoned, and that doesn't mean that he was smoking wacky weed. That means that people were actually throwing rocks at him, trying to kill him. Then the Bible says that he spent a day and a night in the deep, meaning that he was literally in the ocean of the Mediterranean Sea, and he survived by most likely hanging on to some boards. And then he goes on to tell you that he was in perils often. In other words, in persecution. Persecution by the Jews, persecution by the Gentiles. He was cold. He says in this passage he was naked. He was hungry. He was thirsty. And he endured all of this. He was a phenomenal man. I mean, can you imagine being beaten once with 39 lashes on your back, much less five times, right? So he tells us this. And then if you flip over one chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter, I believe it is chapter 12, or go to 11, sorry. No, it is 12, chapter 12, and then verse 2. Then Paul starts telling us now in this chapter that 2 Corinthians 12 and 2, he starts telling us that I was called up into the third heavens, right? And then he says, I went into paradise, right? And he says, I saw things that no other living human being has ever seen. I heard things that no other living human being has ever heard. He said, and I was given an abundance of revelation. God showed him things and revealed things to Paul that he couldn't even write. He couldn't even utter it. He couldn't even speak it, because the Bible says in the King James Version, it was actually unlawful for him, or it was against God for him to do that. And so here you have this great man, Paul, and he sees all these visions. And then when you begin to study Paul's life, you'll see where scholars think that Paul started probably at least the minimum of 12 churches. Some think that he started more churches than that. And I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but you and I have Paul to thank for preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And so now if we want to add to that, so to speak, he's literally got millions and millions, if not billions, of converts to thank, because he was willing to step outside of Judaism and bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Do you agree with that? And so we have him to thank for that. But notice in verse 6, I need you to stay with me. I'm going somewhere here. Notice in verse 6, he says this. He says that I desire to boast. He said, I do. I really want to boast. I want to boast. He said, but I will not be a fool. I will not be a fool. But I'm going to refrain from boasting. So Paul did not boast in anything that he saw or anything that he heard. And so why am I sharing this with you? Because after all Paul accomplished, he said this, be it far from me that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Paul, what you're telling me then is you're not going to boast that you were one of the greatest Christians who have ever lived outside of Jesus Christ. No. And you're not going to boast that you wrote one of the greatest books ever written, which is the book of Romans, and one of the greatest chapters ever written, which is Romans chapter 8. No. You're not going to boast that you wrote 2/3 of the entire New Testament. No. You're not going to boast that you started 14 churches. Some think you started more. You're not going to boast that you've got millions and millions, if not a billion, converts to your name because you were willing to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. No. You're not going to boast in any of that. No, I'm not. He said, there's only one thing I'm going to boast in. He said, I'm going to boast in Christ and Him crucified. So why didn't Paul boast in all the things that he had accomplished for the Lord? Why didn't he? Because Paul had a revelation of the power of the cross, and he had a revelation of God and His righteousness. I'm going to make a statement that I made last week, but I want it to sink in. Brothers and sisters, Paul understood, as we should understand, that paradise is not a hallway of mirrors. Not even Paul wanted to stand before God and boast about all that he had accomplished. Imagine that. Now, I'm not belittling any of us in any way, okay? Because we're not going to be judged according to anyone else. We're going to be judged according to this word. But I just want to make an analogy. How would you feel to stand beside Paul and boast that you wrote a Sunday school lesson, or boast that you took one missions trip in your life, or boast that you gave some money to missionaries. You probably wouldn't want to do that. And if you wouldn't want to do that beside Paul, and I'm not demeaning any of that, right? I'm not demeaning going on a missions trip or giving to missionaries or teaching Sunday school. I'm not demeaning any of that, but I'm just saying compared to what he did, you probably wouldn't want to say much. Correct? And yet, he says, I don't want to say anything about any of that. I'm not going to boast in any of that. I'm only going to boast in one thing, and that is Christ and him crucified and the cross. That's all I'm going to boast in. So here's what I'm wanting to show. It's really rather immature of us to think in some of the ways that we think. In all that Paul did and the incredible man that he was, he didn't even want to stand before God and remind God of everything that he did. For us, brothers and sisters, I want you to please hear me this morning. For us to go to heaven and boast about anything that we have done will be utterly and completely foolish. Are you with me? I want you to go and look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Here's Paul speaking again. He said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Okay, what is this yoke of bondage that Paul is speaking about? Look at verse, I believe it is verse 2. Paul goes on, "Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing." The yoke of bondage, brothers and sisters, was circumcision. So a male had to be circumcised under the law in order to be in covenant with Jesus Christ, or to be in covenant with Yahweh, God, Jehovah. Okay? Now, I hope you can be a mature audience here, and I'm going to do my best to be very careful in the way I word things. But you got to understand something, okay? Circumcision was the cutting of the flesh of a male foreskin. Okay? That's what circumcision was. So in other words, a male had to be circumcised to be under the covenant in order to be what we would call saved. They called it in the Commonwealth of Israel. Do all of you believers agree with that? Okay, but look at what Paul says in Romans 2 and 28. "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh." So here's what he's saying. And again, I have to be careful, but for you to see if a male was saved under the Commonwealth of Israel, if he was in the covenant, a priest would actually have to look at that person outwardly to see if he was saved. If he was not circumcised, he would be put out from the community. And he was not honored as being under the covenant. This is a major issue in Paul's day. Major issue. And now what he's going on to say is that he's not a Jew, brothers and sisters, who is one outwardly. What you can look upon, what you can see with your eyes. That doesn't make him a Jew. The one who is circumcised, which is outward in the flesh. Now look at verse 29. "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart." Again, I want to be careful, but circumcision was a physical thing. It was the cutting away of the foreskin of a male. God says, "You know what? I realize that that covenant is limited. What I really wanted from the beginning is the circumcision of the heart." Yeah. And I want you to serve me from your heart. Out of your heart, I want you to serve me. I want to look not on the outward and say, oh, they're saved. I want to look on the inward man, the heart, and say, they love me. They're serving me. Does that make sense? All right, so now let's go back to Galatians 5 and verse 3. Okay. And I testify to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Paul is saying, men, Jews, you believe that it takes circumcision to be saved or to be in the covenant or the commonwealth of Israel. Then if you believe that, you have brought yourself back under the whole law and you must keep the whole law in order to be saved. Paul is saying, you who think that circumcision saves you. Here's Paul's response in verse 4. Are you with me? Verse 4. You have become estranged from Christ. If you look that word up, it means a separation. From a husband and a wife separating from one another. Paul is saying, you have separated yourself from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law. The word justify in layman's terms means just as if you never did it. The word righteous means to be in right standing with God. Okay? Paul is saying, if you think that circumcision, which is an outward act, can bring you salvation, you are sadly mistaken. By thinking that something outwardly is justifying you, read this. This is powerful. What have you done? You have fallen from grace. Why? Because they were believing in what they did. So here is what Paul is saying to the Jews, and this is the heart of what I want to say to this congregation this morning. If Jesus' payment for sin wasn't enough, so that you have to add to what Jesus has done, Paul is saying that is the greatest sin of all. Here it is. Jesus either paid for it all or he paid for nothing at all. It's not Jesus plus you. It's Jesus or you. Okay, can I keep preaching? It's not you and I doing our best that we can and then Jesus making up the difference with his grace and his mercy. It's either faith, righteousness, or it's your righteousness. But it's not the combination of two. Look at Romans 11 and 6. Romans 11 and 6. And if by grace, then, it is no longer works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it's no longer grace. So let me put it in this term. If it's of circumcision, then it's no longer grace. If circumcision saves you, then you don't need the cross. If something that you do outwardly saves you, then you don't need the cross. He's saying, that's what he's saying. So if you believe that circumcision saves you and what you do on the outward is saving you, then it's no longer works now because now it becomes salvation. And he says, if you believe that salvation is circumcision, then guess what? You've just brought yourself back under the entire law. And guess what you have to do now? You have to keep every dot, every tittle, 613 laws. No, I'm not making it up. 613 laws is what they would have to keep. And they would have to keep it perfectly in order to obtain righteousness. And no man from Adam until today ever has been able to keep 613 laws perfectly except for one man, and that is Jesus Christ. Can I preach? Are you with me? See, his blood is what cancels your sin debt. But his obedience to keep all 613 laws to the dot, to the I, to the tittle is what brings you righteousness. How do you know that? Because Romans tells me by one man's sin, disobedience came into the world. But by one man's obedience, speaking of Jesus, many were made righteous. Right? So let me break that down. By Adam's disobedience, you and I became unrighteous. But by the obedience of Christ and what he did for us on the cross, what Jesus did for us on the cross makes us righteous. It's not, brothers and sisters, you plus Jesus. It's Jesus. He is the one who makes you righteous. Because you have and I have no righteousness of our own except self-righteousness. And then Isaiah tells us that self-righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. So now who is Paul talking to here? Paul is talking to a group. And if you do some study, you'll find that what I'm telling you is the truth. I'm not making this up. Paul is talking to a group called Judaizers. Okay? This is who he's preaching to. He's preaching to a group of Judaizers. Now, in the early church, they taught a combination of God's grace and human effort. So a Judaizer thought that in order for a Christian to be truly right with God, he must conform to the Mosaic law, circumcision especially, was promoted as necessary for salvation. And then they believed that what they did, circumcision, plus what Jesus did is what saved them. And Paul is addressing these Judaizers. Judaizers would thank God for his grace, but then they thought that God expected them somehow to earn that grace. In other words, there must be something that they can do to pay off the debt that we owe to God. And as I've told you many times before in our giving, this is not a debt that we owe. This is a seed that we sow. Because brothers and sisters, if you get real honest with yourself, you can't be good enough to ever repay the debt that you and I owe to God. That's why that we live the rest of our life under good works to say, God, I can never repay you, but the best that I can do is good works to show you how much that I am blown away that you would do what you did for me on the cross. But I understand that when I get to heaven, I'm not going to boast in what I gave. I'm not going to boast in how many people I brought to church. I'm not going to boast in 40 years of Sunday school. I'm not going to boast in anything outward. What I'm going to boast in is what Christ did for me at the cross. And he canceled my sin. And he made me righteous. And so I am the righteousness of Christ based off of what he's done. Can I keep preaching? And so here's what Paul would tell the Judaizers. He was telling them, Judaizers, listen, what you're doing, a combination of what God did and what you did is not true. And now here's a very strong word. And y'all have to be mature to handle this. But if you look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 12, if you study this out, Paul was so adamant that circumcision would not save you. Galatians 5 and 12 says this, those of you that are preaching this gospel, I wish that they would go ahead and mutilate themselves. Okay, now this is strong. And why are you bringing this to us? Because I want you to see how strong Paul stood up against this combination of law and grace. I'm going to let you figure out mutilating means more than just cutting the foreskin. He said, that's what I would wish that they would do as they are promoting this as salvation. And he says, it's wrong, ladies and gentlemen. And if you do that, you're coming back under a yoke of bondage, because what you're doing is saying, it's not what Jesus did for me only, it's what I do. And he says, that is an insult to God. Are y'all with me? Now go back to Galatians 5 and 6. Here's what he says. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Okay? But faith, say faith. Come on, it's more fun when we do it together. But faith. But faith working through love. He says, so here's what he's coming down to. If you understand it's not circumcision, it's not uncircumcision, that's not an issue anymore. What is the deal is faith working through love. So here's what he's really saying. If you want to be circumcised, okay, no problem. But don't trust in that as your salvation. You want to have strong standards? Fine. Nothing wrong with that. Obey your convictions. I got to hurry up, but there's basically three things that are happening here. You have biblical principles, which we should never violate. You have church government, which basically a pastor, and then you've got personal convictions. We should never violate biblical principles. That's what we should build our life on, right? And then there's some things that your pastor asks, and because he asks you that, then if you're going to be under that leadership, then that is submitting to authority, right? And then you have personal convictions. Those are things that you believe you need to do to keep guardrails on your own life. Okay? So for instance, I'll give you a personal conviction of my father. My father would not wear cufflinks and he would not play dice or cards with us. Never. To this day, I don't know why. He's never explained that. But he never had a problem with me wearing cufflinks. I wear cufflinks almost every Sunday morning. You say, but that's so minor. Yes, I get that that's minor, but that was guardrails for him. For whatever reason, he just is not going to play cards with us. Now, we play cards. We love to play skip-bo. I love beating Janet and Molly all the time. I'm awesome at it. Now, we all have to have a prayer meeting after we play skip-bo because we're so competitive, right? No, it's not that bad. But my point is that he just wouldn't use dice. But he didn't mind if we did. Now, God has no problems with you having strong standards in your life. Your personal convictions. He has no problem with a pastor saying, look, this is what I, you know, feel that we need to do. And of course, we always obey biblical principles. But here's what he is saying. That's not what is going to save you. Did y'all get that? He's saying circumcision or not circumcision. That's not even the issue. It's faith working in love. If I do what I do, I'm not going to get to heaven based off of what I do and say, oh, Lord, ain't I pretty? And that's why I'm saved. Now you're wrong. Right? I'm doing what I do. Jen and I live the way we live because this is the way we want to live. We're not living this for no other reason, but we want our life to be an expression of our love to Him. But we understand what our personal things are not somebody else's personal things. Does that make sense? I think I've lost you. Are you still with me? So it's nothing wrong in having strong personal convictions as long as you're not trusting in that to save you. If we get to heaven and when we get to heaven and we think we can boast about our works, how big of an insult is that going to be to God? I just want you to think about this, and I'm hurrying. To say to Jesus, Lord, I'm here, but what you did on the cross wasn't enough. So I have to do what I have to do to help you save me. So it's not Jesus and just what you did. I thank you for that, but it's also in what I've done. And you and me together, don't we make a great team? Really? Why are you preaching like this, Pastor? Because I don't want you to be embarrassed when you get to heaven. And I don't want you to think that it was about what you did that got you there. Can I keep preaching? Here's Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace, say grace. Grace. By grace you have been saved through faith. And what? What? Not of yourselves. It is what? Not that of works, lest anyone. God is telling you right there, when you stand before the throne, he don't want anyone boasting in what they did, not even Paul. And Paul said, I could boast. And in fact, I will boast. He said, but I'm only going to boast in my infirmities, in my weaknesses. But I'm not going to boast about all the things that I've done. I'm only going to boast about one thing, and that is Christ and him crucified. Because I have a revelation of what saved me. And it's not about what I've done. It's about what he's done. Somebody give God some praise in this house this morning. I need to wrap this up. Here we go. So here's my question to you as we wrap this up. How many of you have not always been saved all your life? Let me see your hand, please. Many of you, okay? All right. So do you think it's safe to say that you were not faithful to church before you came to church? Right? Is it pretty safe to say that the majority of us didn't give tithe and offerings before we got saved? Is it pretty safe to say we probably didn't teach Sunday school? Or come to prayer meetings, or go to camp meeting, or knock doors, or teach Bible studies. Isn't it pretty safe to say that we did none of that? Okay, thank you. So here's the question. Here it is. Was God willing to save you before you did any of that? But now that you're saved, now that you're saved, you have to work to earn your salvation? So here's what Romans 5 and 8 says. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before you had ever taught a Bible study, before you ever gave in the offering, before you ever came to church, before you ever heard the gospel, before you ever went to a prayer meeting or a camp meeting or a church service, before you did any of that, Christ already knew you had a problem. And that was a sin problem. And he knew you couldn't save yourself, because if you could have saved yourself, you wouldn't have needed a Savior. And when you were undone, when you were filthy and you were wretched and you were wallowing in sin, Christ looked down and loved you enough that he went to the cross to save you. Now that you're saved, you mean you got to earn your salvation? Here's what Colossians 2 and 6 says. Are you with me? Colossians 2 and 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Here's the breakdown of that verse. When Christ received you and you were nothing but a rank sinner, and he received you and brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light, now why all of a sudden you flipping around and think it's all about you? Continue to walk in him as you have received him. That's what it's saying. We come to the Lord singing this song, just as I am, without one plea. Right? Y'all know that song. Billy Graham made it famous in his crusades. Just as I am, without one plea. But we don't keep singing it once we are saved. Because now all of a sudden we think that now we have to earn it in order to get it. And what we need to keep doing is singing, I come to you, Lord, without one plea. God, I know that there's nothing good in me. The only thing good in me is you and your righteousness. So I don't come on my own righteousness. Would you stand this morning? I need to finish up with this. So here is what Paul is preaching. He is saying that the gospel is the good news. If you look that up, the good news means almost too good to be true. That's what it means. Almost too good to be true. What is almost too good to be true, Pastor? That God would take a rank sinner like me, wash me in his red blood, and make my heart whiter than snow. Give me a past that is forgiven, a purpose for living, and a home in heaven. That's almost too good to be true. Almost too good to be true. But hang on, because here's the kicker. But you know why we don't think it's that good of a news? And you know why we don't really share it with anybody much anymore? Is because now all we think about is, man, if they come to my church, they're not going to be able to do this. They're going to have to take that off and put this on. They're going to have to do this, and they can't go there, and they can't do this. And now I'm sorry to say that the majority of saved people look at this great experience as nothing more than a list of rules, can'ts, and don'ts. And it's not good news to you. So you're not sharing it because you don't really see it as good news. And here's the deal. You grew up with this. You know it. You understand it. It's second nature to you. But you're thinking, man, I don't know that I really share that because I know that if they get in, then they're going to have to, and Paul says, listen, this is good news that you can come to Christ having done nothing to earn it or deserve it and say, God, I am a sinner. Would you please forgive me of my sin? And God, I want to cut the covenant with you. And if you study this out, I don't have time to get into it. But the Bible talks about baptism being where we cut the covenant, where we take upon his name and our heart is circumcised from sin. And we take upon the name of Christ. And then he fills us with his spirit. And then he calls us righteous. Brothers and sisters, that is good news. That's great news. That's almost too good to be true news. Father, I love you, Lord. God, I haven't, you know my heart. I haven't come here to upset anyone. I haven't come here to make anyone mad. But God, I've come here, Lord, to show the truth through your word. And God, I'm going to be the first as I lead this church in repentance. Forgive us, oh God, of our pride. I'm going to lead you now in repentance. And if you're a believer, would you raise your hand and ask God to forgive all of us of our pride? Forgive me, oh God, of my pride for thinking that I could save myself. Why would you go to a cross? Why would you endure, Lord, the hardships and the ridicule and the rejection in order to save me? And then I think that I can save myself based off of my works. Father, would you forgive me of my pride? Father, would you forgive us of our boasting because we boasted, Lord, many of us, myself included. God, we have boasted in what we have done. We have boasted in who we are. And yet one of the greatest Christians who ever lived said, I'm not going to boast in anything but Christ and him crucified. Come on, would you talk to the Lord right now? Come on, all over this building, would you talk to the Lord? He loves you. He loves you enough that he was willing to go to the cross for you. He loves you enough that he was willing to take 39 stripes on his back so you could be healed. Everything God endured, Jesus endured, it wasn't for him. He didn't need salvation. He didn't need healing. He didn't need righteousness. He was salvation. He was healing. He was righteousness. He did it for you and he did it for me. And we need to give him praise this morning. And we need to forget ourselves and what we've done and humble ourselves and say, God, help me, oh God. Help me to see my righteousness does not come from my works. My righteousness comes from Christ. Maybe you want to step out of your pew this morning. your faith and say, God, here I am without one plea. I don't come, God, today based off of what I've done. I come today, Lord. I come today before you based off of what you've done for me, God. Give us revelation. God, let revelation be in this house, God. You don't accept me based off, oh God, of what I bring. You accept me by faith through grace in your name, God. You accept, oh Lord, humbling myself and saying, I need you. And I can't do this by myself, God. I cannot save myself, Lord. I must have a Savior.
Thank you.
Week, but I got a lot more to say, but I want to say this just so that I explain myself, because normally what I do is after I'm done, I go home, I just re-preach the whole message to myself to make sure that I said it right. I want to explain something to you, that all the works that we do, you say, then Pastor, why should I do works? Here's why that you should do works. You do works because, number one, the Bible tells us in Titus that God saved us, right? Not by good works, but for good works. So we're going to be rewarded for everything that we've done. I don't want to be misconstrued. Paul is actually going to be rewarded for all of that stuff, right? He's going to have a huge reward that just didn't save him. So here's why we do good works. One, because when you operate in your gift, it brings you great joy, right? You know that when you do something for somebody else and it's a gift, it brings you great joy, right? Okay, so that's one. Two, then they receive great joy because you did it for them, right? So you were blessed by doing it and they were blessed by receiving it, and then God gets the glory for all of it. Yes. Because he's the one who gave it to you in the first place. So this is why you do good works. You get blessed, they get blessed, and God gets the glory. So when I give to missions, I get blessed because I'm constantly planting seeds, and when I plant seeds, I reap a harvest. They get blessed because we were willing to give to them, right? And then God gets glorified through their preaching when people come to the knowledge of the saving of the gospel. So all three are blessed. And that's why the Lord has saved us, not by good works, but for good works. So here's the whole motivation, and I'll let you go. Now the motivation for me to do good works is not to impress God, not to earn my righteousness, not so that I can keep his favor and he won't be mad at me. Now I do it as an expression. Y'all, I'm not trying to be dramatic here, but stay with me. I mean, I can't believe God would do what he did for me. That he would do that for me. So now whatever I do is my expression of love back to him. To say, God, it's unfathomable the love that you show me. Right? And how many times have I been to an altar and repented over the same thing? Any honest people here? And yet God, his mercies are renewed every morning, and great is his faithfulness. And he never kicked me to the curb when I wasn't righteous and didn't do it right. And yet he just kept loving me. See, that's the process of sanctification. So in justification, I am saved. Justification, I'm saved. Then sanctification, I am being saved. And then glorification, I will be saved. Did that just make sense? So all through this, my works are nothing but my expression of my love for my Heavenly Father and what he's done for me. And that's why I do good works. But I always go back, I'm saved by grace through faith and not that of myself. Father, I thank you for your word. Because, Lord, We're going to be judged not by man's traditions, not by man's doctrine, not by the Judaizers. We're going to be judged, Lord, according to your word. And Father, I pray that you would just allow your word to seep deep into our soul. And God, that it would begin to change us, and that our motivations for what we do would begin to change. And Lord, all that we do would be motivated out of love and not out, oh God, of trying to earn something that we can never earn. Bless your people. Keep them. I pray over the doorposts. I plead the blood over the doorposts of every person. Lord, I plead the blood over their health. Keep us, Lord. Keep us safe from all, Lord, pestilence in the name of the Lord Jesus. And watch over this church. And Lord, bless them as they come in and bless them as they go out. And Father, may your peace, oh God, Lord, may it overshadow them, and may your presence go with them, and may they be at the right place at the right time. That is my prayer in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. All right, if you're brave enough, shake somebody's hand. If you're not, just high five them or nudge them or wave at them or whatever you want to do. Have a great day. No church tonight. I love all of you.